just to rewind about 25 years, at that stage, almost every airline in the world was government-owned, and every international airline was government-owned, with the exception of the US carriers. And then over the past 20 years, there's been a number of privatisations of those airlines. British Airways was one of the first to occur in the mid-80s. And then, of course, Qantas almost 20 years ago now. But today, still, most of the carriers that we would come up against or that we might fly on travelling from Australia are actually government-owned still. So Singapore Airlines, even though it's called government-owned, it's actually a listed company with government ownership in it, but it's by no means a government-controlled or directed airline.
Qantas has argued, for instance, that it's at a disadvantage. Is it true that those government-backed but listed airlines effectively get cheaper debt and so forth because of their status as having a government majority shareholder?
Oh, there's no general proposition there. Singapore Airlines doesn't get cheaper debt. Air New Zealand doesn't get cheaper debt. But Etihad is a different case. It's not a listed carrier, so it's less visible and much newer. But it is, according to its reports, profitable now on an operating basis. Most of the airlines that Qantas is operating against in this region are government-owned. Malaysia Airlines is government-owned. Thai Airways is listed but government-owned, as is Malaysia Airlines, listed but government-owned. The Chinese carriers are listed but effectively government-controlled. The government does all the buying of their aircraft for them. Cathay Pacific is privately owned. Emirates, of course, is government-owned, Qantas' main partner. South African Airways is government-owned. In the United States, they're all privately owned.
You said there was a bit of a wave of privatisations from the 80s through the 90s and so on. How many of those carriers are actually still operating, and how many went under at some point as a private operator?
In this region, Japan Airlines, which was government-owned, was privatised and then, of course, went into bankruptcy in 2010 and re-emerged from bankruptcy. I should say, of course, All Nippon Airways is actually privately owned, always has been, the other major carrier in Japan. Most of the privatisations were in Europe. Lufthansa, Air France, which has still got a significant minority of government ownership in it. Scandinavian Airlines System, which has got a substantial amount of government ownership in it still. It's by no means a sort of total global shift to private ownership. It still remains the exception in international operations.
And in terms of the, there were a few European carriers that didn't sort of survive so long as private operators, weren't there?
Yeah, there were a few smaller private operators who went belly up from the word go, but the European situation is a little bit different because the European Union has rules about government aid, and as soon as governments were not allowed by their membership of the European Union to subsidise their flag carriers, then those flag carriers came into some stress. So we've seen several of those very, very stressed, if not go out of business. People like Olympic, a Greek carrier. There was Malev, Hungarian carrier, which went broke for that same reason. They weren't allowed to subsidise it. Not a lot, I've got to say. But a lot of them have been a bit fragile. Sabena, the Brussels-based airline, which managed to survive for 30-odd years without making a profit in a single year as a government-owned airline. Aer Lingus, which is a listed company, but it still has government ownership in it. Very, very efficient carrier, very low cost. And Air New Zealand, of course, which was privatised, but then the collapse of Ansett dragged them under. And they were re-nationalised, so the government of New Zealand now owns 70% of Air New Zealand. The other 30% is listed.
And, I mean, Air New Zealand actually just came out today posting a 40% rise in profit. Mm. So, I mean, in this more general debate you see in economics about private versus public ownership, the public ownership certainly doesn't seem to be making Air New Zealand less commercially competitive.
New Zealand's extraordinarily commercially competitive. It's managed to shed a lot of its costs, and the government basically stands back from it. It's got a very open skies policy to New Zealand because their main priority is tourism.
And is that really the essence of having a flag carrier, private or publicly owned, to in some way promote inbound tourism to your nation?
The answer is it depends. In New Zealand's case, where they were always very, very going right back to the early days of the 80s and 90s when they had a very, very liberal economic regime in New Zealand. The reason that Air New Zealand was re-nationalised when ANZUS collapsed was that there weren't sufficient airlines who would be committed to flying to New Zealand to support their tourism industry. That's really the only reason they did it. In Australia's case, of course, we're very, very different because people want to fly here, people want to be in this market. So the real issue from Qantas's point of view has been too many airlines want to fly here.
There's a lot of debate about what should be done, if anything, to help Qantas by the federal government. In your view, should anything be done? And if so, what would be the most practical and helpful assistance the federal government could provide to Qantas?
In a regime where you're not looking for governments to support airlines, and I think that's pretty much where I would stand, the best thing the government can do really is to get out of the way. And that's the real negative that the Qantas Sale Act has against it, that it prevents Qantas from the freedom of action that, say, Virgin Australia has.
And in terms of Virgin Australia, do you think there is an unfairness in the way it's split itself to effectively get around the Air Navigation Act?
The unfairness is not in what it's done. The unfairness is in the fact that Qantas can't do it too. That sounds a bit, may sound a bit cynical, but the real point is that what Virgin Australia has now got in terms of its international and domestic operations is probably about as ideal for the current regulatory environment as you could possibly be. And Qantas is prevented from being in that position. A large part of that environment is the ability to attract powerful partners, because we need airline partners, and the world is starting to consolidate either de facto or even legally. And if Qantas isn't in as good a position as Virgin to attract partners, particularly in Asia, then it's going to be at a substantial disadvantage, and that can hardly be in the national interest.